Good morning and welcome to the Breakfast Show on Faith FM with Scaffy and Losso. This is the place to be every morning if you want to start your day with positive thoughts. You're listening across Australia on 87.6, 87.8 or 88, depending, of course, where you are. Or on our Faith FM app. Mm. You can chat to us, Lawson, by sending a message to 0491-064-669. And today is Wednesday, April 24. Do you know what day is today, Lawson?
The day before Anzac Day.
Yes, that's correct. But it is also the International Day of Multilateralism and Diplomacy for Peace.
What was that first
Multilateralism.
So lateralism. Okay.
This is when you have three or more countries coming together to agree rules that will say how they should play.
Okay. Right? Okay. This is good.
That's
this is
right.
Good. World peace. I like those things.
Isn't it a great thing to celebrate? Diplomacy and multilateralism. Well, so that's the day for you to do this. Awesome.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The time should my personal application like be forgiving those who have wronged me, trying to befriend people who I previously maybe haven't befriended? I feel like you can take that opportunity. If whole countries are doing that, then you can probably do that in your immediate circle of influence.
That's right. So I have a word of the day today, Lawson.
Okay.
And the word of the day is actually a name of the day.
Uh-huh.
And the name of the day is Adonai Tzedek. Do you know what that means?
Well, Adonai is like the Lord.
Yes.
But Tzedek, I'm not
quite sure. Tzedek means righteousness or justice. Ah. So Adonai Tzedek means either Lord of justice or my Lord is righteous. And who was he? He was the king of Jerusalem during the conquest of Canaan.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Praise God.
So, yes, he ended up being dethroned during the conquest of Canaan because he was a pagan king. And in today's show, Lawson is going to give us the solution to one of life's most annoying problems. You have to stay tuned for that. We're going to talk about a group of teachers that will be focusing on Palestine during Anzac Day. Interview with Jennifer Skews about resilience, and our Bible study will be on the longest period of persecution in church history.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
Joined by myself, Lawson. Got Joseph in the studio as well. Brian on the decks, and she'll just standing around. Like literally, she's nodding her head right now because it's true, but she's overseeing the operation. You know, the big boss doesn't get in and do work. She's whipping us into shape, making sure we're doing the right thing. Hey guys, let's get into our first quiz question for today. Simply this, if our minds are fixed on God, putting our trust fully in him, what has he promised to give us? This is a promise actually found in Isaiah 26 and verse 3. And these are your three options here. Is it A, perfect happiness, B, perfect serenity, or C, perfect peace? Let me read that one more time. If our minds are fixed on God, putting our trust fully in him, what has he promised to give us according to Isaiah 26 and verse 3? Is it A, perfect happiness, B, perfect serenity, or C, perfect peace? If you know the answer to this one, 0491-064-669. Again, that number, 0491-064-669. And as we are broadcasting from Big Camp this week, we've been doing special quizzes all throughout this week. We've been giving you guys all kinds of epic prizes and spinning the wheel every day. Today, we are giving away two Faith FM coffee mugs. We want to give them to you absolutely for free. And we're giving you two so you can have one and you can give one to your partner or to your friend or to, you know, your family. And because like these mugs, you know, you can get together and drink.
Some people collect them.
Collect
they
mugs.
They have an actual collection of mugs because when you go to buy souvenirs at a place, you can always choose from a mug.
Okay. Personally, I am not like a collector, but what I do like is doing things in community. And these mugs, if you want to get together and drink some tea or some, like I need to get into after this, and you know, just to keep my voice going, I'm like, oh man, I would love a cup of lemon and honey water, like hot dude. The mug is like the only way to drink those kinds of things. If you want to get together with your friends in community and be having a great time with these mugs, we are enabling you to do so. So again, answer these questions, 0491 064 4669. If our minds are fixed on God, putting our trust fully in Him, what has He promised to give us, according to Isaiah 26:3?
And Lawson, may I suggest something as well? Mm-hmm. Can we know if our listeners, any of them, is actually a mug collector?
Oh, yeah.
Let us know. Are you a mug collector? Mm-hmm. Give us a, send us a message to 0491-064-669. Could we have someone even calling us to tell about the mug collection? No, we can't at the moment. We don't have that receiving of calls yet. But send us a message. You know, do you collect mugs? And tell us, you know, what is some of your favorite mugs? And why do you collect them? So anything. We would love to hear from you and to share your hobby or passion with the listeners out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, 0491-064-669. You are listening to The Breakfast Show here on Faith FM. And as I said,
You have come up with a big promise, Lawson, that you would be announcing the solution to one of life's most annoying problems.
Yeah. At the moment, this has been, in my life, the single most annoying problem. Like, I have been absolutely, you know, just dreading going outside or standing in one location or in particular locations around, you know, campground. We are here at Big Camp, a huge Christian convention with a couple thousand people getting together, worshiping God. There are multiple places on this campus that I am like afraid to stand still in because the amount of mosquitoes that will get you there. And these mosquitoes are aggressive as we had some big rain and now it's drying out. All the mosquitoes are coming out. These things are getting you through your clothes. Usually, you know, you get the mosquito spray and you're putting it on your exposed skin. I'm having to douse my clothes in mosquito spray because they're getting me through my jeans. They're getting me through my, like, okay, the jumper is like the only saving grace, like a big jumper with a shirt on the inside. But even if I just, if I have a t-shirt on, like it's, these things are going hardcore. The gangbusters. There's like nothing you can do. These things are going crazy.
But okay, so we know that mozzies are a big annoyance for you.
Now, they're not only a big annoyance.
There's a whole bunch of solutions.
There's not only a big annoyance here at camp. And this is the thing is that we've been struggling to find a solution like here at camp because it's like, I've been putting so much mosquito spray on and it's just not enough. 15 minutes later, I'm getting bit by mozzies. Now, thankfully here in Australia, we're not dealing.
I'm wondering if there's anything special with you, Lawson, because I haven't been having the same experience here.
What about you, Shel?
Too sweet.
Yeah, I'm too sweet.
Yes, maybe you're too sweet. Maybe there's something in your smell that, you know, pleases the senses of these mosquitoes. Maybe something very nice that we can't hear, we can't smell. Maybe some pheromones or something.
Maybe. But hey, over in Africa, they have a similar problem, but it's obviously much worse because mosquitoes over there are carrying malaria. And tens of thousands of people die.
But in here, they also carry some nasty things, don't they? Like Ross River disease.
Yeah,
and
they can. Yeah. And it's good to avoid as well. And in this case, in malaria in Africa, like billions of dollars have been poured into pharmacological research so they can come up with solutions like drugs and whatnot when people get malaria to be able to solve the issue. But something that aid workers have been calling out for, have been pleading for in Africa is not just pills to solve the problem of, you know, like when they get malaria, but they're like, can we have a preventative measure? Can we just invest like out of the billions of dollars that get invested? Can we just like take a few million out of that to buy nets and put them out? Like, chemical treated nets, like doused in, you know, mosquito repellent and whatnot, just that we can just give out to African people.
Okay.
Can we please get these? Like, this is the, in Africa, the number one time where people are getting bitten by mosquitoes and whatnot and catching malaria is when they're going to sleep. They're like, can we just get nets to be put over beds? And what they have seen is just absolutely amazing. This program, it's distributed 54 million nets over 3 years, and they've estimated that they have prevented 13 million cases of malaria as a result of these nets. Because people
are able to, simple yet effective.
People are able to sleep in a safe location. And I love this, you know, for these numbers are from 2019 to 2022. And yeah, it was just that the foreign aid workers, those people on the ground who are bringing usually their own nets over from their countries when they're coming, like, can we please just distribute this? And they begged and they pleaded with these companies that are giving foreign aid and these countries and whatnot, just to section them off a few million. And it's had an amazing result. And they believe that the reduction of malaria cases here, the 13 million that they have reduced, has had an impact on the local medical systems of the countries that they're working in the tens and even hundreds of millions, because they've just been able to reduce the amount of people getting malaria from just chucking a net over them. And so I'm seeing this. I'm like, this is a solution to a massive problem I'm having right now. I would love to get one of these treated mosquito nets and throw it over the top of me. I need to find where I can buy one in Australia and just have it every time we come here to the Stewart's Point campground, which, by the way.
So you're getting bitten during the night or during the day?
No, not so much during the night. It's mostly during the day. And that's because Stewart's Point campground is just beautiful and amazing. But there's some certain corners of the campground that are quite swampy. And that's where.
So would you be taking the nets with you to when you're out and about during the day to protect you from?
Honestly, so where we do our music, so I'm running music for one of the tents, and where we do music practice, that's also where I'm like doing some study and whatnot as well. And that's where you just get absolutely peppered with mosquitoes. And I would be inclined to just chuck the thing over the top of me and have my computer under there and just like to do work and stuff. It would like literally solve all my issues and problems. Like, okay. It'd make things so much easier. So yeah, this is my thoughts. And I reckon they should cultivate a mosquito net suit, right? That's like treated in these things. I would wear it around camp just to like keep these things.
Like out of the edges of the head, there's this veil. That's right. That's right.
I would kind of look like it'd be like a bride's veil, you know.
But imagine if a stinging bee or a wasp gets caught inside the net with you. Oh, wouldn't that be a little?
That would be scary. Yeah, I am like deathly afraid of those.
You're listening to the Breakfast Joe podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
Joined by myself, we got Joseph in the studio, Brian on the decks, Shell overseeing the operation. And right now we are going to get into our next quiz question. Simply this: according to Philippians 2, who are we to esteem higher, ourselves or others? 0491-064-669. Of course, our prize for today. We have prizes every single day. Our prize for today, we're giving 2 Faith FM mugs. These will be a blessing to you. We want to give them to you absolutely for free. Again, 0491-064-669. According to Philippians 2, who are we to esteem higher, ourselves or others? 0491-064-669. Hey, what is happening in the world of current news? You were talking about Anzac Day.
So tomorrow is Anzac Day, the ultimate holiday in Australia, most important day in the Australian calendar.
Yeah.
As far as the significance.
It's like, you need to understand, like growing up, and I've said this on the radio before, really Anzac Day, you know, Christmas negotiable, Easter negotiable in terms of like family participation and that kind of thing in my household. Uh-huh. Anzac Day dawn service, like, if you don't go,
absolutely mandatory,
disowned. Like, it's, you know, it's like, it's not that bad, but like my grandfather and my great grandfather, you know, great grandfather served in World War I, grandfather served in World War II, especially my grandfather. He was, you know, in Borneo, Papua New Guinea, shot.
Hopefully you won't be serving in World War III.
Yeah. That's the hope. My dad got to skip. But my dad is incredibly like proud of their efforts and always, you know, celebrates the sacrifice.
So this is what's happening, Lawson. There is a group of teachers and staff in Victoria, and they're called the Victorian Teachers and the Teachers and School Staff for Palestine.
Okay.
And they said that they're going to take opportunity of this year's Anzac Day to talk about Palestine.
In their classrooms.
In the classrooms to the students. Actually, they developed a booklet, a 40-page booklet,
mm-hmm.
featuring explanations about how Anzac Day relates to Palestine, the British Mandate, the Sarafand al-Ahmar massacre in 1948, the 1948 Nakba, and the many primary and secondary historical sources. So they said, look, this is their motto as the group. There is no neutrality in genocide. This is what they are calling. This is what they how they are portraying their main mission. And they basically say, hey, you know, we think that we have to talk about that with kids.
Mm.
We believe that we're not supposed to be basing our Australian identity on, you know, these myths of Anzac, but rather in the truth. So that's
the myths of Anzac, but rather in the truth of Palestinian persecution. That is like the strangest dichotomy I could have ever thought of to combat Anzac Day. How is Anzac Day a myth?
Like, this is one of like I mean, I guess that's not the myth that there was an Anzac Force,
but the legend of
pure heroes that never done anything wrong. And everything was a sea of roses, that kind of, of thing. So one of the teachers in this group, her name is Pippa Tandy. She said, obviously, we're not promoting a particular point of view, but we are committed to the idea that there is no neutrality in genocide. That's you know,
we're not promoting a particular point of view. Wrong. Like that's look. This is a conversation that we had on The Breakfast Show actually with a listener who was writing in opposition to Anzac Day because, you know, like often on Anzac Day we quote, lest we forget and, you know, love is laying down your life for others. And a listener was writing in saying, hey, but like that's, you know, war is war and conflict and evil and hurt and pain. And we understand that too. And none of us advocate for the fact that, oh yes, every person who served in the armed forces during World War I and World War II was perfect and did the right thing. And they're all these, you know, heroes and whatnot. But more so what we celebrate, the point of Anzac Day is this, the sacrifice, particularly what took place in Gallipoli on Anzac Cove when they, you know, jumped over the order came through. You all need to sacrifice your lives for the sake of the British so that they can escape because we landed on the wrong beach. We need to jump the trench and just run at the enemy and all die so that they can escape. That is the legend of Anzac.
Exactly. So it's about sacrifice. It's about loving others. It's about giving your life to the benefit of others.
Yeah.
So my concerns are the following. Okay. My concerns are the following. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6 and 17, Lawson says this, live as free people. So these teachers, they're saying, look, we have the freedom. We can teach about Palestine. We'll be within the curriculum. We have the freedom to do so. We are within our freedoms. All right, they are indeed, maybe. Mm-hmm. But look at this. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the emperor. So from a kingdom of God perspective, I should not use my freedom as an excuse to dishonor others or to be unbecoming. Love is not unbecoming. 1 Corinthians 13, love thinks no evil. So what I'm concerned is, what is the message that we are getting across to our children, to the kids in those classrooms? Number one, is it in line with perhaps one of the best values of Australia, that camaraderie, that mateship, that idea of serving others? Or is it going to create doubts? Is it going to create fear, hatred, perhaps, rebellion? In the minds of these kids, and they're going to be seeing Anzac as a negative thing rather than a positive. So that's one question that I ask. Second question and second concern that I have, does that episode that they mentioned, the Sarafand al-Ahmar episode, and what happens there is that it is indeed something that has been fairly new to the annals of history.
Yeah.
So the story goes that one specific unit of the Anzacs stationed in the Middle East, in Palestine. They had been constantly raided by thieves. And at one time, one of these thieves ended up killing one of the soldiers. So one of the troops, they went to the local village and they demanded that the thieves would be handed over to them. To which the tribe, the village that responded, we do not know who did this. And some historical records say that there had been a massacre or a slaughter in that place. And the number of victims vary. Some people say 40 and others say 137. We don't know exactly. So there is a, let's say, a dark chapter.
Sure.
As there is in wars. But my question is, does that represent the whole of the ANZAC forces? Or was that a localized episode of a specific unit? Another question that I ask, are the people who had been involved with that going to be given the chance to have a say? Have they repented? Have they regretted that? Or are we just digging for dirt? Because I do not know about you, Lawson. I wouldn't like to be judged because of the darkest day of my life.
Yeah.
Would you?
No.
So when we are taking ANZAC and we're saying, hey, we have no political pretensions here, but we're going to take the single number one worst story and we are going to promote this as if this is representative of the whole ANZAC mindset and values. Are we doing a service to the truth here?
No, we're doing a disservice. I don't have a problem with reviewing these incidents. Like, this is history. And I'm such a big believer that history, all of history, should be on display for us to learn from. And that's what I love about the Bible so much, is that the Bible is unafraid to make its key figures look bad for the sake of the truth and even teaching us a lesson. And I think
it even gives more credibility to the Bible.
That's right. And I feel like this story of this massacre taking place, yes, it shows us a dark chapter where a platoon of ANZACs did the wrong thing. But does this take away from the immense sacrifice that they made and that we celebrate? You know, the incredible things that happening in Gallipoli? Like, no. And yeah, to say that, okay, the only education that our kids should receive is telling them that the ANZACs are actually, yeah, horrible people, and you know, you should be so disrespectful and irreverent. Yeah, for me, I know I have a bias in this, but it definitely sits wrong, and it makes me, yeah, a little bit upset.
Yeah, I struggle to reconcile that with the values of the kingdom of heaven. That's what I have to say. I don't think it matches.
You're listening to the Breakfast Joe podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
Let's get into our next quiz question. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into blank every thought to the obedience of Christ. Hey, if you know the answer to this one, 0491-064-669. Fill in the blank there again. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into blank every thought to the obedience of Christ. If you know what we're bringing into, well, it says bringing into blank every thought. If you know what we're bringing every thought into, 0491-064-669 is the number to text. And if you text that number with the correct answer, you will go into the draw today to win. We have two Faith FM mugs that we want to give you absolutely for free. Again, 0491-064-669. Again, and bringing into blank every thought to the obedience of Christ.
Lawson, we are live from Stewart's Point, from the big camp. And the big camp, in my opinion, Lawson, is the premier event for family, you know, fun and spirituality and personal growth in one place in Australia.
Well, not just families as well. It's all demographics, families,
eh? Demographics.
I'm in the young adults tent. I'm running the music there, and it's all, you know, all my friends from uni, all of us, you know, 18 to 30s and some over as well, spending time together and drawing close to Jesus. It's been powerful.
And one of the things that happened throughout the day, Lawson, are various workshops.
Yeah.
Aimed at empowering you to live a better life, to be the best version of yourself that you can possibly be. And in the studio with me today, we have none other than Jennifer Skews, our mental health resident speaker here at Faith FM. She's a health psychologist. You have been following her every Wednesday morning. And Jennifer, so thrilled we are to have you here live with us on the studio, not just on the phone. So it's great to have you. Welcome.
Well, thank you. I'm just very excited about being here because it's a chance to meet everyone, and I just haven't been to Big Camp here before, so I'm thoroughly enjoying it. Very spiritually uplifting.
That is wonderful. And Jennifer, tell us a little bit about your Big Camp experience. I heard that you have been the presenter of one of these workshops. Is that true? What is it all about?
Okay, it is true. I'm here to present a workshop and program for the women's ministries. And what I'm doing is I've got an hour session between 11 and 12 every morning. And in that time, we're doing what you just sort of talked about a bit. It's about an upgrade. And it's a bit like a computer. And these women need to have an upgrade physically, mentally, emotionally, and especially spiritually. And that takes skills. They're skills that we're not born with. We don't know about necessarily unless we have very switched on parents who are good models. So what we're doing is taking them through their paces as far as how do you grow personally? You know, how do you become the fulfilled person you want to be with God? Because God has a plan for every one of us. And the theme is the mind of Christ. So it's a very exciting theme, and the women are really enjoying. We've had a great turnout, a full house most days so far, so and I'm getting good feedback, so I know that what we're doing is really helping them.
I love the analogy, you know, the software update.
That's it.
Because in our phones, when we update the software, it means that we normally we have a better operational system.
Yes.
I know that for a fact. So, and you're right. We are not born with all the answers, with all the skills. Everything in this world progresses and grows, takes time. I think that, you know, Jennifer, one of the worst things that can happen to a person is that the day that they stop learning.
Absolutely.
I think that this is the day that we start dying. Really.
Yes.
The day that we stop learning something new. So you're talking about giving new life skills.
Absolutely.
To women. What kind of skills we're talking about?
Well, we're talking about working, first of all, understanding the mind and the brain, because we have an incredibly amazing brain that God has given us, and He has created us with amazing potential. And we want to fulfill that potential, but it takes skills and knowledge and a sound mind, as we talked about. We do have a Bible verse that has been the theme of this. It's Romans 12:2, and it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And that is sort of the basis of, so the skills I'm teaching them are based on that. And it is about renewing the mind, because the mind is the center of everything. If our brain's not working, we're a vegetable. And it's amazingly, it's only that first third of the brain, the neocortex, the left and right frontal lobe of the brain, that is sitting here now talking to you and understanding and knowing. So it needs to be programmed in a way that it can think in balance, be rational, be able to manage emotions, and certainly be receptive to God's calling and to the Holy Spirit.
So, Jennifer, let's track back a little bit. You mentioned about understanding the brain. This is one of the things. Now, what do we need to know about the brain that empowers us to learn and to become better person?
First of all, the brain is always changing. The brain actually is made up of lots of cells and neurons, and these all connect and make pathways. But we can change the pathways. If we're not happy with a habit we have, which is a major pathway in the brain, if we know, and I liken it to an LA freeway, we have lots of these connections, and what we want to do is get off the freeway, and that means we have to have exit roads in the mind. And that's what I give people, is exit roads. How can I stop thinking that way, feeling that way, shutting God out of my life? So then I'm teaching them skills how to work with the mind. And it's more than just the mind, it's the body, because the body and the brain connect. especially the heart and the brain. There's a major connection there that we work with to help keep the brain in balance. It's that left-right brain balance.
All right.
Jennifer
Lawson, yes.
Okay, so we want to do some brain construction here. We want to create some exit rows. Yep. We've got our crew in. We're about to you know, do some road works. We've shut down this thing. We've got a lollipop lady ready to go. What can we do? What is our methodology here to be able to get those exit roads going?
I think the first thing is know what am I thinking. Because if you don't identify thoughts, and I'll ask someone, what are you thinking? They go, oh, I don't know. They're not aware of it. So it's being conscious of what you're thinking, and I get them to write down thoughts, and it's not the exact thought, it's the trend of the thinking. And this is where people struggle with that, but once they start listening to what they're thinking, and your emotions are your barometer. So I'll say, well, if you're feeling sad, what sort of thoughts do you have? Oh, sad thoughts. So if you work with the feeling, you can identify the thoughts, yet the thoughts feed the feelings. It's because of what we think is the way we feel.
It's a closed feedback loop, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So
yes.
Our thoughts will generate feelings, our feelings will generate further thoughts, and these thoughts will generate even greater feelings, and sometimes we can be trapped into this negative spiral of sadness, of despair, and there's a lot of noise going on inside of our mind. So what are some of the practical skills that you've taught so far?
Well, helping the person to change the thought trending. And there's a belief system behind it. Our beliefs come from very early childhood. Some are inherent. Some we learn through family, parents, particularly the mothers and the family belief system. And if they're negative or irrational, those beliefs actually direct the thinking.
Okay, so could you give us some examples of what an irrational or even negative thought pattern looks like?
Okay, so if you are an anxious person, you're usually projecting fears. Oh, if I go there and they don't like me, what will happen? And I won't fit in. And you've got all this anxious thinking, whereas if I get people then to look at the solution, not the problem, because anxiety is future fear. And that's a big one. A lot of people have anxiety. So you get them to look at, well, what are you afraid of and how else can you think about it?
Okay. Could you give us a practical example of how someone that struggles with anxious thoughts could, you know, stop these thoughts on their brakes and change them to something more reasonable or more positive?
Okay. Well, one of the things you have to do is calm and balance the brain, because the brain is out of balance when you're anxious. You're working right brain. It's like a muscle. And you're not, your left brain, thinking brain, is actually feeding the problem, and the right brain is accessing all the times you felt anxious and is building that problem. So you have to get the brain back in balance, and the best way to do that is correct the heart rate. Because if you've got adrenaline and cortisol, the heart rate's spiking all over the place. So I get people to do a very simple breathing technique where they slowly breathe into about five, out to about five, but they focus their attention on the heart. And when they do that, even putting the hand on the heart, they found scientifically calms the heart. So what you get them to do is to calm the heart rate, because that brings the brain back online.
That is so interesting.
Yes.
Yes, I once heard someone saying something to the effect that when we, for example, if we are faced by a dingo or a bear or some kind of threat, what happens to our heart? It automatically races off. So when we force our brain, and this the same physiological event happens when we are having anxious thoughts, when you're having this fear. So our heart rates, they accelerate. Yes. But then if we force ourselves to start breathing slowly, you wouldn't do that in the presence of a bear. You wouldn't do that in the presence of a dingo. But you're telling your brain, hey, you know what? It's okay. Let's relax. And then you can actually use your thinking brain better, right?
Yes. It's a bit like we create our own bears that we're afraid of. You know, that becomes the bear. And we've got, and the problem is when you have these imaginary fears that you're projecting, where do you go? You can't run, you can't fight it. Whereas with the bear, the whole reason for the brain to do that is to pump adrenaline and fight and flight, adrenaline and cortisol. So you've got nowhere to run. So they actually, anxiety is a freeze mode. It's like you're running on the spot 100 miles an hour and going nowhere. And it's like you burn rubber, basically. Mm-hmm. It's like a car. You're accelerating and not putting the brake on. I help people put the brake on. and calming the heart rate, because it's the heart that directs the brain, that every beat of the heart the brain responds to. In fact, when in fetal development, the heart develops before the brain.
Very interesting. Mm. Wow, I didn't know that. So step number one, get that heart under control by breathing. And what would be steps number two? How do we face now that negative thought?
Well, when you've calmed the heart, the left brain can start thinking rationally. And then I get people to write it down, get it out of their head space and look at it, because when you write it down, you're being what we call more mindful. You're observing instead of being the participant. So you're actually able to step back and see. And anxiety is actually in the body. It's physical. And I get people to recognise the physiology of anxiety. It's not in the mind. What's happening in the body, getting them to identify that. And that's why calming the heart calms the body, allows the nervous system to actually relax and release the anxiety from the body.
So they're writing down the kinds of thoughts, the mm-hmm. trend of these thoughts.
Yes.
And once they do that, yep. what comes next?
Well, then they're going to look at, well, that's no wonder I'm feeling anxious. How can I think differently? So then I get them to help them to actually identify a better thinking pattern. And identifying that maybe they're doing that catastrophizing, making a mountain out of the molehill. So you get them to calm it down and go, okay, how can we turn the volume down? I use a lot of those sorts of metaphors that people understand.
And do you find that this is where lots of people find that they're stuck, that they can't think of alternatives different interpretations to what they're doing, or usually people are pretty good in coming and saying, hey, you know what, maybe I'm not going to be hated by everyone, or how does that work? So do you need to come in and step in and offer alternatives for them to think of, or usually people come with them built in?
They can, once they're more rational and the brain's back online, they can often think of options, but I will suggest options. Why don't you try thinking this way? This is a thought you could have. And they go, oh, what a good idea. They often respond to that.
So to use that example of going to a place and feeling that you will be somehow rejected or left out or judged, what would be alternative ways of looking into that?
Okay. Well, what is the fear? Do they know that? What's the evidence? I often look for evidence. Has it happened to you before? Often not. They've seen it, but they fear what might not happen.
I see. Jennifer, we have only 50 seconds left, but would you have any last words to give to our listeners in regards to the work that you have been doing at the Women's Stand here in B Camp?
Well, I think there's a lot of good information around and learning about the brain and the mind and how it works, because when we understand the nuts and bolts of something, it's less fearful and we can make changes.
Wonderful. So understanding the brain, breathing, calming the heart down, writing down your thought patterns, and then finding alternative interpretations to that, it's surely going to lead you to a more happy version of yourself.
Absolutely.
Jennifer Skuse, thank you so much for you coming all the way to B Camp and to being on the studio with us today. It has been a great privilege to meet you in person.
Thank you.
Thanks for being a part of the Faith FM family. Join our community on Facebook or get in touch at 1-800-FAITH-FM.